coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Hello. Just a few days before last week's episode of Sunday Cantata was first broadcast, a very exciting email landed in my inbox. It was from George Ulvik, the managing director of eClassical.com, the online store for high-quality classical music downloads that has supplied Lutheran Radio UK with the recordings of Bach cantatas used in this program. The email was an announcement that Volume 55, the final installment in Bach Collegium Japan's recording of all the surviving sacred cantatas of Johann Sebastian Bach, had just been released. Over 18 years after the first volume came out in 1995, BCJ's project was now complete. The completion of that mammoth task almost coincided with the very modest task that Lutheran Radio UK set out a year ago, to present just one of the cantatas J.S. Bach wrote for each Sunday of the church year. One cantata per week, plus a special airing of the St. John Passion on Good Friday. I will reflect on BCJ and their cantata cycle next week, in our final episode for the year. Before focusing on this week's cantata, I want to spend a little bit of time reflecting on the even greater task than BCJ recording all the cantatas, that of J.S. Bach writing them. I'm Tapani Simayoki, and this is Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK. For the past year, Bach's cantatas have been my constant companion. To prepare each episode has been demanding. My work as a full-time pastor of a small Lutheran congregation is in itself time-consuming in the way that you would expect. Sermons, services, Bible studies, home visits, visits to old people's homes, events in the community, study, preparation, preferably not neglecting my family. On top of that, Sunday Cantata has made an additional demand on my time, listening to the music, choosing which cantata to present, working through the libretto, studying what experts on Bach have to say about the words and the music, writing a script to fit whatever amount of time is left over after playing the whole cantata, then recording the program, editing the recording, preparing the background tracks to accompany the commentary. Afterwards, the producer, Jamie Krieger, who's even busier than I am, has spent more hours putting the whole thing together, filtering out any noise, balancing the sound, and making sure that it's studio quality, and then feeding it into the system to make sure that the program comes out at the right time, on the live feed, and appears on the podcast page. No sooner is one episode broadcast on a Sunday than the work on the next one begins on Monday morning. Now, I have to be honest and admit that at busy times of the year, it sometimes felt like one thing too many. Every now and then an email or a text message from Jamie has reminded me that if I don't get my bit done soon, he will have to forego sleep if the program is going to be broadcast on time. In these times, I've had a simple cure for any temptations to frustration or self-pity. All I've had to do is to remind myself that all I have to do is to listen and understand enough about a cantata to talk about it for 10 to 15 minutes, and then let someone else do the work of singing and playing. In the years when most of these cantatas were written, Johann Sebastian Bach would also wake up on Monday morning, having just performed the cantata of the previous day, knowing that another cantata would have to be performed the next Sunday, a cantata that didn't yet exist that Monday morning. In the time that it takes Jamie and me to prepare an episode of Sunday Cantata, Bach would choose a libretto, compose all the music, most of it from scratch, have all the parts copied out by hand for the singers in the choir and every player in the orchestra, rehearse the whole work, and then perform it in church on Sunday morning. And all the while he had his regular teaching at the St. Thomas Choir School in Leipzig, private music tuition to his own children and to others, musical duties at the local university and the secular music scene of the city, administration, the occasional job to inspect a newly built organ in some church near or far, and the small matter of a growing family that also included nephews and nieces, all in a rather cramped house attached to the boys' boarding house at the school. Week after week, for at least 3 years, 60 cantatas per year were written like this, and many of them only ever performed once. Producing a radio program about them is chicken feed by comparison. The very thought of it is mind-boggling, and becomes even more mind-boggling when you realize that even though he was writing music at such a furious pace and in such distracting conditions, the quality of Bach's music remained consistently high. I very much doubt that any other composer has ever managed to produce so much music of such high quality, and certainly not in such a brief period of time. One thing did help, though. In those days, originality was considered less of a virtue than it is these days. Not only did composers borrow freely from one another, After all, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. But they borrowed liberally from themselves. If you were pushed for a deadline and needed an instrumental movement to open a triumphal cantata, you could borrow a movement from a Brandenburg concerto or a violin concerto that had the right mood, as Bach did for the second day of Pentecost, 1729. And if need be, you could borrow a whole cantata from yourself, as Bach did on the 26th Sunday after Trinity in 1723, his first year at Leipzig. The cantata in question is BWV 70, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet. This cantata was originally written in 1716, during his first real outburst of cantata writing, when he was working in the ducal court at Weimar. At Weimar, unlike in Leipzig, cantatas were performed in church throughout Advent. For the second Sunday in Advent, Bach composed music to a text by the court librarian Salome Frank, based on the teaching of Jesus in Luke 21 concerning the end times. Unusually for a cantata, Frank's libretto had no direct biblical quotations, although it's replete with biblical references, and no recitatives. All that survives of this early cantata are the parts for the upper strings of the orchestra. Together with many other cantatas Bach wrote in Weimar, it's been lost, perhaps burnt or impounded by the prickly and oversensitive Duke Wilhelm Ernst, who considered himself the owner of all the music written by his court musicians. However, in 1723, Bach took this earlier work and put it to new use on the 26th Sunday after Trinity, where the gospel text from Matthew 25 refers to the final judgment in the parable of the sheep and the goats, close enough to be usable. But he didn't merely re-perform the older work. Rather, working with an anonymous librettist, some have suggested he himself tried his hand at poetry, he added four recitatives and another chorale verse, turning the original six-movement cantata into a two-part, 11-movement masterpiece. While the work is not entirely original, nevertheless, the finished product is more than a mere Mark II of an existing model. The way the later poet welds the two libretti and the two Bible passages together is matched handsomely by the way Bach's later music fits seamlessly into the Weimar cantata, leaving the unsuspecting listener utterly ignorant of the fact that the new garment is in fact a refashioning of an old one. A glorious combination of creative outpourings from two of the most fertile periods of Bach's composing career. You are listening to Sunday Cantata on Lutheran Radio UK with me, Tapani Simoyoki. The opening movement of the cantata is from the original Weimar work. It opens with vigorous military signal sounds from the trumpet and horns of the orchestra, calling the Christian congregation to attention, echoing Jesus' warning ahead of the end of the world, as recorded in Luke 21, "Watch yourselves." Watch, pray, pray, watch. Be ready at all times, until the Lord of glory makes an end of this world. This is a dramatic movement depicting the drama of the coming return of Jesus to judge the world. One can hear through the music the description of the coming end of the world in the epistle reading for today from 2 Peter 3. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burnt up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. The accompanied bass recitative that follows is the first Leipzig edition, but it blends perfectly with the first movement by repeating the trumpet reveal, packing a dramatic punch that would have made any opera composer proud. The aim of this punch is to shake impenitent sinners out of their complacency. Be frightened, you impenitent sinners. A day is dawning from which no one can hide. It hastens you to strict justice, O sinful generation, to everlasting heartache. Yet for you, chosen children of God, it is the beginning of true joy. The Savior comes to fetch you as everything falls and breaks before his own exalted face. Therefore, do not give way to fear. As soon as the attention turns to the children of God, the music changes in its tone from military intimidation to bold assertion of the assurance of salvation. In these words, the theme of judgment from Matthew's Gospel is combined with Jesus' promise in Luke's Gospel that the coming destruction of the unbelieving world is a source of relief and joy for the Christian, because it is a sign of the redemption Jesus brings, a theme that will get picked up in the second part of the cantata. Following this proclamation to the congregation, we now hear the first response from the Christian, a longing for the coming of Jesus to redeem his people. When does the day come when we depart from the Egypt of this world? Ah, let us quickly flee from Sodom before the fire overwhelms us. Wake up, you souls, from security, and believe, this is the last time. These two Old Testament references are some of the most important events in the Bible. The release of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt to inherit the promised land is a type and symbol of the release of God's children from slavery to sin and death to inherit eternal life in God's kingdom. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that were the archetypes of evil, by fire and brimstone, served as a warning of God's judgment that will eventually descend on all unrepentant sinners. The tenor follows this with a recitative that reflects on the daily experience of Christians, that we are, in Luther's phrase, simul justus et peccator, righteous and sinners at the same time. While the child of God, the Spirit, belongs to and longs for God, the sinful child of Adam, the flesh, is bound to the fallen world. Even in our longing for heaven, our body holds the Spirit prisoner. Through its malice, the world lays nets and ropes for the devout. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. This wrenches from us a pitiful alas. Next comes a soprano aria, again from the Weimar Cantata, which again dovetails with the epistle reading from 2 Peter. Peter writes, "Know this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Let the mockers' tongues utter abuse. It will and must happen that we shall see Jesus on the clouds, in the heights. Earth and heaven may perish. Christ's word must stand firm. Let the mocker's tongue utter abuse. It will and must happen." Here again we see the center of the biblical faith that colored Frank's poetry and all of Bach's work. Christ's word must stand firm. A paraphrase of Jesus' words in Luke 21. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The third recitative, again for tenor, is a brief but focused reminder of the optimism Christians have in the face of the increasing evil of this world. "Yet even among this wicked generation, God thinks of his servants so that this evil race harms them no further, since he preserves them in his hand and places them in a heavenly Eden." Part 1 of Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet closes with the 10th and final verse of the anonymous hymn Freu dich sehr, set to a melody adapted for the Genevan Psalter by Louis Bourgeois. "Rejoice greatly, O my soul, and forget all misery and torment, since Christ your Lord calls you from this valley of misery. His joy and splendor you will see in eternity, and rejoice with the angels, triumphing in eternity." We will now hear part one of Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata No. 70, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet, performed by the choir and orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan and soloists Yukari Nonoshita, soprano, Robin Blaze, countertenor, Gerd Türk, tenor, and Peter Koi, bass. Thank you.
verstockten Sünder. Ein Tag bricht an, vor dem sich niemand bergen kann. Wenn man mit dir die strengen Rechte, du sündliches Geschlechte, zum ewigen Herzen leide. Wohnet euch, wenn alles fällt und bricht, so sein erhöhtes Angesicht, und saget nicht.
Den frommen Netz und Stricke. Der Geist ist willig, doch das Fleisch ist schwach. Dies presst uns aus, ein Jammer.
That was part one of J.S. Bach's Cantata No. 70. After the break, we will first study and then hear part two of the same cantata. Don't go away.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
If you'd like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, visit our website, lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all our activities, which you can join to learn more about our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the seminary of the ELCE. If you'd like to support us, you can use our secured link, lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Lutheran Radio News. An acute reading of what makes the news in the eyes of a Lutheran journalist.
Hi, this is Paul Hill. Join me every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK to find out what happens in and around the Lutheran Church.
Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Sunday Cantata with me, Tapanisimo Yoki. We are listening to Johann Sebastian Bach's Cantata No. 70, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet, first written for the second Sunday in Advent 1716, but reworked by Bach for the 26th Sunday after Trinity, 1723. Before the break, we heard Part 1, which would have been performed before the sermon. The much shorter Part 2, which came after the sermon, shifts in its focus. Whereas most of the first part concentrated on the coming judgment of the world, the remaining movements draw the congregation's focus to the hope of the coming redemption of God's people. The contrast between the opening movement of the two halves of the cantata couldn't be much greater. Whereas earlier the music was all tumult, warning and threatening signal calls, now the brass instruments have been packed away, and they are replaced by a gentle yet firm, reassuring string orchestra. The tenor paraphrases Jesus' words from Luke 21. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Lift up your heads and be consoled, you devout people. May your souls blossom. You are to flourish in Eden to serve God forever. The dramatic mood returns with the accompanied bass recitative, which holds in view both the terror of the world's destruction and the Christian's consolation that, in the midst of all this danger and our own sin, for which we too deserve destruction, Jesus' love for his own means that all will end well. Ah, should not this great day, the ruin of the world and the sound of trumpets, the unheard of last blow, the words proclaimed by the judge, the open gates of hell's jaws, arouse in my mind much doubt, fear, and panic, since I am a child of sin. But there comes to my soul a gleam of joy, a light of consolation. The Savior cannot conceal his heart, which breaks with pity. His merciful arm does not forsake me. Come, in this way I end my journey with joy. In the first half, the solo trumpet blasts the hymn of the day, Bartholomäus Ringwald's Es ist gewisslich an der Zeit, the day is surely drawing near, a kind of Lutheran Dies Irae, describing the coming judgment. Yet, after all the drama, this highly operatic movement closes in serene tranquility with the promise of salvation. The final bass aria reflects on the promise of eternal life, which the end of the world will usher in. Blissful day of new life, lead me to your chambers. Resound, bang, last stroke, earth and heaven collapse in ruins. Jesus leads me to calm, to the place where there is fullness of delight. Bach conjures up an atmosphere of such blissful calm as to banish all the turmoil of the end times, the terrors, the threat of judgment, leaving nothing but the blessed assurance of heavenly bliss. Part 2 and the whole cantata closes with the fifth verse of Christian Keimann's beautiful hymn, Meinen Jesum lass ich nicht, I shall not leave my Jesus. Not for the world, not for heaven does my soul wish and long. I wish for Jesus and his light. He has reconciled me with God. He frees me from the court of justice. I shall not leave my Jesus. While the choir sings the chorale in four-part harmony, supported by the rest of the string orchestra, the first violins play a soft descant above, lifting the eyes of the congregation's mind upwards to the heavenly kingdom Jesus has prepared for his bride, the Church. Here is part two of Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet, performed by the choir and orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan with soloists Yukari Nonoshita, Robin Blaze, Gerd Türk, and Peter Coy. The conductor is Masaaki Suzuki. The recording is from volume 15 of BCJ's complete recording of Bach's cantatas, published by BIS and made available to Lutheran Radio UK by eclassical.com.
Oh. allerletzter Schlag. Feldklippe geht in Trümmer. Schande, Knalle, letzter Schlag. Feld und Lippe geht in Trümmer. Schande, Knalle, letzter Schlag. Schande, Knalle, letzter Schlag. Feld und Lippe geht in Trümmer.
That was part two of Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet, in a performance by Bach Collegium Japan and soloists Yukari Nonoshita, Robin Blaze, Gerd Turk and Peter Kui. The conductor was Masaaki Suzuki. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Sunday Cantata. Join me again next week for the final cantata of the year and perhaps the finest of all of Bach's surviving 200 cantatas. Until then, if you would like to get in touch with me about any aspect of the program, you can contact me by email. The address is info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Alternatively, leave a comment on Lutheran Radio UK's Facebook page, facebook.com/lutheranradio, or send a tweet to us at Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Tapani Simoyoki, pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham, Hampshire, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.